Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic for this week?
I want to talk about the invisible expert. Those are those job seekers that have a wealth of experience and knowledge, and they either A, all of a sudden find themselves out of work, got laid off. There's a lot of that right now. I mean, that's just pretty incredible. Or they've been stalled. You know, maybe they've been out of work for a hot minute and they're applying to a lot of different things, but they're just getting nowhere. And today, I think that we could probably crack that walnut, if you will, as to why you might be an invisible expert in this industry. So what we want to do today, and what you guys that are listening should get out of it, is how can you, especially as like a mid-career professional with a lot of experience, be able to move from invisible to someone who shows on your digital brand that you are an authority figure in your industry and the next person to be hired.
I love this. I'm so glad we're talking about it. It's really just giving you that credibility factor, even at the very least, let alone positioning you as an authority in the space. We see this reality all the time. So let's say somebody spent like 20 years becoming an expert in their role. You've got all the knowledge. You've got all the experience a team could ever want, and you know that. But if I search for you online, do I see you? Are you a ghost? Even worse, does your sparse and outdated LinkedIn profile make me assume that you're a dinosaur who doesn't know how to navigate technology? I mean, that's a real risk, right? You may think, oh, what does this really matter? But it really does. In this day and age, being the best kept secret around, that's not a badge of honor, right? It's a career risk. If a recruiter or a hiring manager can't validate your expertise with your digital footprint, you're often passed over for the candidate who's better branded or marketed, even if they're less qualified. And you may say, well, they can just read my resume, or I'll just prove my expertise during the interview. Well, this year, this day and age, with applicant tracking systems, AI filtering, digital footprint searches, you won't even get that chance if we can't digitally validate you up front. It's not that we can't trust you per se, but there's too much fraudulence out there. There's too much competition to just take your word for it anymore. So you have to beef up your digital presence.
Yeah, I agree with that. And one thing that I'll note to this audience is I've been taking some AI courses lately, and it's been eye-opening to me. I mean, I come from a technology background. I cut my teeth in IBM. So technology isn't a new world for me at all. But I have been floored, absolutely floored, with how much artificial intelligence has progressed just within the last 3 to 6 months. And a lot of the applicant tracking systems now, the artificial intelligence is looking more at not just keywords in your resumes, but it is actually searching for conflicting information elsewhere. And so you guys that are listening, hang with us here for a minute, because this isn't complicated. It's important, though. And there's little tiny things that you can change that will make a huge difference on you no longer being invisible.
I would agree with that. And I would also say, in the sense of what Becky and you just mentioned, grabbing an old resume that you have. Okay, let's say let me rewind a little bit. You've been in the industry for 20 years and you are ready for a new job. This is a very completely different job market than it was several years ago. Grabbing your old resume, dusting it off, adding your latest position, not going to do it for you anymore. Nope. And then submitting it, not going to happen anymore. And then on top of that, when you're a candidate that was asked several times for that resume, and then the behavior behind your response of providing the resume, and then your behavior of trying to get you through the process, you guys have to meet the job market that it is today, which means recruiters and hiring managers are not just looking at what you did, but the context around what you did. Yep. They're also, like Becky mentioned, the online part of thing, the digital part of things. They're going to go and see, let's see what groups they are. Let's see what they responded to. Are they participating in these networks for clinical research? All those little things matter. And another example, my husband, he's looking for a job. He's been in the HVAC world for many, many, many years, 20 years. We're moving, looking for a new job. He does not want to be in service. He's been doing sales the last 3 years. He literally was like, oh, here's my resume, my old one. And I'm like, okay, let's tweak it. And he had no idea what I was talking about. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, how do you not, like, you have to tweak how much money you brought to this company the last 4 years.
The so, value. Yes,
you cannot think because you've been doing this for 20 years that your experience speaks for itself. You have to adjust to the job market it is today and also not have this too much of a confidence. Oh, they just need to speak to me. Or, oh, do I really need to do that? Do I really need to spend time? Yes, you do. You do.
And for love of all things professional, do not send me an IQV, a resume,
yes.
a PPT resume, a PSI resume. Do you really want a recruiting agency to represent you with some other company's brand on it? Don't be lazy, you guys. Don't be lazy. And that's exactly how that comes across.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So you do have to represent yourself. You guys, job seekers, have to represent yourself. And it is about getting away from the text-based resume to show proof of work. We're doing a webinar on this coming up, is how do you take the very boring responsibility statements mm-hmm. that are on a typical old-fashioned resume and turn those into what you really did, because that's important in terms of resumes.
And what the value was, what the benefit is to this next person. You can't just assume that they know, oh, I've got 20 years, so that means I was good at what I did the last 20 years. You've got to prove that your quality, not just that you have the quantity of experience as well.
Yeah, because 20 years at doing something doesn't show me how good you are at it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's so true about the resume. And like you were saying earlier, in addition to the resume, the online presence, I think, is the other part of it that's so important. And I think one kind of practical thing people can do is just Google yourself. That's what the hiring manager is going to do with your name. They're going to go out there and Google you. So you should kind of know already what's out there and what kind of digital footprint you already have online, and see if you need to maybe do some updates or, you know, just clean things up a little bit. And of course, hopefully one of the first things that'll come up in that search is your LinkedIn profile, which is great because that's a great place to brand yourself and show, you know, all the things, great things you've been doing. And just some very simple things you could do to get started. Some very obvious ones are, of course, like your picture, your profile picture, your headshot. That's their first impression of you. So make sure that looks professional, you know, that you're clear and easy to see. And I would suggest a current photo, like, you know, maybe last time you were job searching was 10 years ago, but it might be time for a current photo. I know I spoke with someone the other day on a video call and I didn't recognize him at first because the photo was on his LinkedIn was probably 25 years ago. So, just make it easy for everyone. Just a nice new current photo is great. And of course, the LinkedIn banner is one of the other first things that people will see when they look at your profile. So that's another quick thing that you can kind of clean up and make look professional, you know, have it kind of align with your career and industry and what you're looking for. I mean, a picture of the beach is great, but that really doesn't normally have anything to do with your job or your industry. So you might want to kind of make it a little more aligned with that. And, you know, just something clear and clean. You can find templates online. You know, it's not that hard to kind of clean that up as well.
Hands-free stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very easy. You go out there and pick this the LinkedIn banner button, so it gives you the exact right size, and then it gives you templates you can use, and it's fabulous.
Exactly.
All free, all easy.
Exactly. Yep. Some easy wins right there. Mm-hmm. And another thing would be just kind of to take a look at your LinkedIn profile, and we would always suggest don't put any like political statements on there. That's not the place for it. Those are great, but you know, maybe more on your personal social media. For your LinkedIn, it's more professional. You don't want to accidentally turn anybody off at this point. You know, like they're looking at your profile. You want to be kind of inviting them in and everyone in, no matter what their personal thoughts are. So I would steer clear of those type of things. And another great thing you can start doing if you haven't already is don't be a lurker. Don't just be looking at everybody else's profile. You can also interact. It's great for hiring managers to see how you've been active on LinkedIn and, you know, posting useful things, commenting on other people's posts, and you're active in the industry. So just a few things to kind of get started on LinkedIn.
I love those, especially the interactions with, just make sure, and I think Sabina is going to touch on this, so I won't touch on it much, but liking things that show you are a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's relevant. I mean, don't, you know, do the laugh emoji at a cat meme. That's got nothing to do with you professionally. This is not Facebook. LinkedIn is, it should be serious business. And when people don't treat it as such, unfortunately, not only do the recruiters and the hiring managers have a turnoff, but it can be punitive with LinkedIn as it relates to driving the right type of traffic to your profiles.
And there is a strategy to this, and I can give a few examples. These are really low effort, but high impact things that you can do on your LinkedIn after you update everything that'll really help. The first thing I'd like to go over and explain for people who don't know is the LinkedIn algorithm. So we've done a couple round tables here about what the 360 Brew algorithm is on LinkedIn. Basically, just a little high-level description is that it's tracking everything that you're posting, who you say you are, what you're doing on there. So for an example, if you say that you're a clinical research associate, but like Angela said, you're just spending all your time liking cat memes, or you're commenting on gardening posts, or like Jenny said, posting political things, the algorithm is just going to get confused, and it's not going to put your reach out there. It's just going to suppress everything. So it's not going to show your content. So just like they said before, keep everything aligned with your role and what you want to be doing, and keep it professional. Another tip that I have is you can just kind of make your own post. You don't have to be a professional writer to write a post for LinkedIn. You could find like a really good industry study. You could just hit a share, write one or two sentences, you know, like this point on page 3 is exactly what we are seeing in the mid-market right now. Thoughts that can bring up conversation. And you've kind of just put yourself in like this role where you've kind of just had value. Like, what do you guys think about this? And then the last thing I would say is the commentary play. Comment on people's posts. Don't be a lurker, like Jenny said. So just make sure you are out there. People, we're not going to find you if you're not putting yourself out there. It's really easy. Just comment something like, great post, add your perspective. The person who posted it, they're going to see it. Their followers are going to see it. And then recruiters like us are going to see it. And we could be like, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. Interesting. Click, you know, all that fun stuff. So These tips really don't take much energy at all. They're really simple, so I wouldn't be scared of them. And they'll just really help you a lot on your LinkedIn profile.
People are scared to post, aren't they? We did a webinar on how to do that and how to take your LinkedIn headline, about section, and a few lines of accomplishments from your professional summary of your resume, and have artificial intelligence help you create outlines like 10 posts. And they would be outlines of 10 posts that you know how to do because it's from your content. And I was coaching someone this week and she's terrified of posting. So I said, okay, well, let's find some posts that other people are doing that you can just comment on, because it's a great start, right? And so we, again, took information from her very polished now LinkedIn profile, the headline, the about section, and then we took some information from her resume, just the summary profile, and asked artificial intelligence. I used the free version of Perplexity, so you guys don't have to pay for anything, and gave it a prompt asking it to please provide 12. I asked it for 12 LinkedIn posts that align with this individual's LinkedIn profile and resume highlights, where she can go out and actually comment on these posts because she knows enough about the subject. And it came back with these incredible posts that she was floored, gave me the links and everything. So she was able to just directly click on the links and start commenting and posting. And here's what the cool thing is that happened. Within a week, she had, because she was only getting like 12 or 13 views a week on her profile. And there's ways to see that. Within a week, she's already starting to see hundreds of views on her profile. And she's getting messaging and she's getting more connections and all of those types of things. And it's amazing how that little tiny bit of a difference will just drive so many more profile views to you. And if you're an invisible expert, this is gold. And it took her and I 15 minutes to do it. 15 minutes.
Wow. Those are great results.
Yeah.
I really love this. What I really love and what I really keep thinking about too is, like, when I was starting out in the job search and my dad had all this advice, you know, you go in, you ask for the manager and you shake their hand, you say, I'm young and ready to work. And I'm like, yeah. And now he comes to me. He's like, what do I do with LinkedIn? I'm like, yes, I am in charge now. I tell you what to do. And that's the fact that you've put your face as your banner and it's all stretched out is not the way to do it. I'm the captain now. Like, I love, it's such an interesting flip now with talking with my dad about it. Cause he's like, I'm not like changing my job, but I was like, doesn't matter. LinkedIn is still important. Like, LinkedIn is still, it's the digital world now. It very much is. So you got to know what you're doing and you got to care about it, which is the biggest thing I find with like my dad and potentially other people his age. You've got to care how you show up online. And honestly, as someone who spends day in, day out on LinkedIn, if you're not showing up when I run a search and you haven't filled out your LinkedIn profile completely or the language isn't targeted, you're not showing up in my search. And if I'm not going to go through 6 pages to find you at the very back of it, when there are 5 people in front of me right now that look amazing, have a full profile and are ready to go. And I was like, hey, look, they're ready. And so you got to get in the game. I want you to have this and you got to get in the game and you got to care about it. And some of the other tools, like, you know, we talked about filling out the LinkedIn profile, adding targeted language. It's also important having a nice photo, having a relevant photo, not one from 40 years ago. The other one that's sometimes gets a little bit of a scarlet letter is the green banner tool where it says open to work. And it's not a scarlet letter, but it is a really good tool with the right context, especially if you've like just gone through a layoff. It just helps remove a little bit of that friction and kind of and can signal urgency in a way in your favor. You know, it lets me know, hey, this person is open. They're ready. Like, let me reach out. Let me see if they're ready because I had a position open up. They might be the perfect fit for this. So there are little things like that that you really want to take advantage of. And then with the context of the green banner tool, there is the context that matters is that we, as someone who's on LinkedIn searching for candidates and potential talent, you know, in a non-mean way, I tend to see a place you see like people who are higher value. I see higher value in those who aren't like desperately searching. It's more like, it's like when you want someone, but you don't know if they want you, you're like, ooh, I want to pull them in. I want them to want me. Like I want them. It's this whole like psychological mindset. And I'm like, yes, I want to work with you if you say you're actively working. And also if you're like, maybe a little bit like, ooh, maybe they're out of my reach. No, I want you more now. So it's a whole psychological thing. But the good news is for the mid-career professionals, when you take this stuff seriously, when you like care about it, you have something that shows up online that the youngins maybe don't, is that you have depth and you have experience. And when I can find you, I'm like, oh, look, it's my little treasure chest. I am, I like, as a recruiter, and only as a recruiter, it's like, I want you so much. Please come work with me. Please come fill this need for my client. You know, so one way to really check this out too is like, if you look yourself up on LinkedIn as I would, like as a recruiter, if I put in by industry title or skills, do you come up? Are you in the first page? Are you in the sixth page? Are you all the way at the back of the list? Because I'm not going to go searching for something that doesn't exist. And if you find yourself at the back, how do you get yourself to the front? You know,
and we only
get yourself
until we place the position and then we stop. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. So if you, you know, see if you're in the first 50 people and that's your real first impression.
I want to talk about the green banner a little bit more, Kian, because I think your points are really good. I think, and there's a lot of controversy over this green banner thing. There's a lot of people that say, never, ever own it. To your point, I don't care if it's out there or not. We passively recruit, so we're going to recruit you whether you have a job or not, right? But here's what I will tell all of you guys with the green banner. You've just opened yourself up for spam. The recruiter and some of the premium LinkedIn profiles allow people to search just for people with the open to work banner. Now, the upgraded LinkedIn's that we have don't, because we use Sales Navigator. But if you've got someone that's got some of the premiums like the recruiter version, they do. So that is why all the spams happen so much to those individuals that have the open to work banner. You've just put a target on your back. And the individuals that are going to reach out to you are very highly likely to be spammers. So I'm not saying don't add the green banner, because you will also get people like us that reach out to you that are real. but you're going to get a lot that aren't. So just make sure you've got your fraudulent radar up, because you did just put a target on your back whenever you put that banner on there. Just saying.
Yeah, you got to use it discriminately, not indiscriminately. It's like you got to be a little bit selective and then be very careful then about who reaches out.
Yep.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, team, before we wrap up this topic?
I'd like to give everybody a challenge, if we could. So I would like, and Maya kind of touched on this, but do look at your LinkedIn profile as if you were a recruiter, which means that you've got to understand what you are trying to sell yourself as. Are you a CRA with oncology expertise, right? If so, then I, as a recruiter, and we do this all the time, I'm looking for clinical research associates that have oncology in their profile within certain locations. So do definitely do that. I think that's great advice, Maya. But what I would also do is right now, in the next 24 hours, look at your LinkedIn headline right now. Your headline, that's the words underneath your face on LinkedIn. And if it just says something benign like project manager at X corporation, change it. You need to have a statement, who you are, the big key skill you solve, and what you want. It needs to be very clear. First thing that they see is your headline. So that would be my challenge for you guys next week. But just do small chunks. Start with your headline.
All right. That's great. Because, yeah, what we're looking for, to Maya's point before, we're looking for depth, but we're also looking for visibility. We need to be able to find you. And when we find you, we want to see all that richness that you have, and we need to see it up front. So thank you so much, team, for this discussion. Thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered straight to your inbox, and feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.